When a young person is inducted into the military, he or she take an oath. They make a solemn promise. Currently, that promise sounds like this. I, state your name, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. And that's from Title 10, U.S. Code, Chapter 31, Section 502. But I wonder, does the average teenager who takes this oath really know what it means or the responsibility that it entails? Or is it just a way for them to take their video game status on Call of Duty to the next level? It won't be long before they realize that this isn't just a new version of their favorite video game. The training is real, the pain is real, the bullets are real. Real people really die. And there are no save points to go back to or regenerating or respawning or whatever the terminology may be. When you get killed by an enemy sniper or a roadside bomb, it is game over, at least in this life. Rally Day is an annual event on the church calendar that marks the beginning of our Sunday school year. It is back to business as usual for the church. Sunday school classes resume their normal program. Confirmation starts up once again. And we turn our attention back to our normal school year focus and the routines of training our children for war. That's right, I said war. Because that's truly what they are facing. The world, the devil, and all his minions would like nothing better than to make them the latest casualty in his seemingly endless battle for their souls. This is serious business. In the confirmation rite, the kids are not asked once but twice to promise unto death. Firstly, do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? And secondly, do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Sunday school classes, confirmation classes, and instruction at home prepare our youth to be able to make this promise before God and all those that are present. And even though we mark the start of another basic training season with games and a cookout, this is serious business. This is life and death. This is war. That's why it's so critical to get the fundamentals, their foundation laid early in life. What our youth are learning from the world, and even in some other churches, is not preparing them to defend themselves from the attack of the devil. They need to know the Bible. They need to know what we believe and be able to defend it. They need to be able to answer the questions from our gospel text today. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And who do you say that I am? They need to be able to not only answer, but they need to have the right answers. Peter in the narrative gives Jesus the right answer, and it is a powerful confession of faith. So powerful, in fact, that Jesus said it was divinely inspired and that even the gates of hell couldn't prevail against it. And on this, God will build his church. But if we read the next few verses in Matthew, Peter doesn't do so well. In fact, Jesus calls him Satan, starting at verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23. And that's just the beginning. After trying to steer Jesus away from the cross, Peter will come to deny Christ, abandon him, will run away, leave his friend and Savior to die. Jesus knows this, but he still delights in Peter's confession. As the Bible records, Jesus will restore Peter's future denial in the days after Jesus' crucifixion. And Peter will go on to lead a spirit-filled and a bold witness to Jesus. So despite knowing Peter's failures to come, Jesus doesn't take away the reality of his good words right now. Peter gets it right, and God rejoices. And on the rock of his original confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Lord builds his kingdom, and hell will have no defense against it. Jesus delights in our confession also. On that day when we pledge to keep God's word as inspired truth and to not fall away from our confession and all that it entails, even upon the pain of death, God smiles. He rejoices because we got it right. And every Sunday when we confess the creed and profess our unity of faith, as we partake together of Christ's body and blood, God smiles. God loves to hear our promises. He is delighted in our words. He's delighted in our actions. But like Peter, we don't always live up to the promises that we make. We don't think about the words we say or how our actions betray us. We may even deny Christ by fleeing the situations that make us uncomfortable. When challenged about our faith, when the truth is tough to hear and even harder to live, when our careers are on the line, when our popularity might suffer, our belief in the truth of God's word flies in the face of this culture. And that is the war that we must train for, a war we must fight. God empowers us to do so. And even the gates of hell will not prevail. Yet despite God's promises of strength, power, perseverance, there are times when we retreat, surrender, go AWOL, maybe even get taken prisoner. It is at these times, when we deny our confession, that Jesus comes and restores our lives. And just like Jesus seeks out Peter, Jesus comes to us, restores our broken relationship. He pours the Holy Spirit into us. The sweet words of forgiveness that are spoken over us are the very stuff of heaven. Hell must yield before them. The prisoners are set free. So as we prepare our children and our youth to do battle with the world, Satan, their own sinful flesh, it is important for us to remember our own confession made at our confirmation and the words with which we accept the condition of pledging steadfastness, our commitment, even unto death. They are these words, "I do by the grace of God." It is only by God's grace that one can make that commitment and confession. For he has given us the gift of faith, sanctified us, washed us clean from our sins, drafting us into his army. And like those soldiers who took the oath of induction, we stood before an altar like this one on the day of our confirmation and confessed the name of Jesus. We make solemn promises we little understood. But God did. He loved to hear what we said. And he has promised to use us, even though, like Peter long ago, we are flawed and sinful people. He has made our words echo Peter's. Jesus is the Christ. And that is the rock on which the church is built. The words we speak in Christ's name and with Christ's love are especially important as we pass on this historical, confessional faith to a younger generation. So let's get our kids ready to fight, and let's celebrate. Rally Day should be a celebration that we have kids to teach and teachers to teach them. For it's by God's grace that we have either one. And it's also a celebration because even though we are preparing our kids for battle, we know God has won. And we can celebrate that victory in Jesus Christ. Thank you, teachers. Thank you for all that you have done and for all the people that will work today so hard to kick off our Sunday school year. Thank you for your partnership in the gospel, in the ministry. God's richest blessings to you all. Amen.